Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire podcast is being recorded and aired for February the 3rd, 2024. And we're going to look at some great questions this week, and I'm very grateful for those of you who have been so generous and kind as to offer your beautiful questions. If you ever have a question you want to ask me, you don't have to use your name if you don't want to. It's fine with me. Your question is what is really important. All you have to do is write me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. And I would consider it a privilege to receive your questions. I really would, honestly. Okay, so let's get to the first one. This one is from Florida. Her name is Andrea. And she's asked me, why is meditation so difficult? My mind wanders all over the place and blah, 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 that kind of thing. And she wants to know why it's so difficult. Andrea, meditation reveals how we have taken care of our minds, how we have, shall we say, allowed our mind to be a thoroughfare for any thought that may pass through it. And we don't really understand where these thoughts come from. And because of that, we just allow them to come and go as they want. And when questioned about that in meditation, or when meditation shows you, hey, this is what you're doing, this is what has happened to you, you've just allowed your thoughts to come and go as they wanted. You didn't see the quality of them. You didn't see the origins of them. I mean, I know what you're going to say. Well, who does that? And that's the truth. Who does that? Not many people. They don't sit and wonder about their thoughts. When I was a little boy, Andre, I tell my little group this, I used to sit and be very, very concerned about my thoughts. I didn't have the same thoughts everybody else seemed to have. I wasn't interested in hitting home runs or scoring big touchdowns, or just didn't care about what was really going on in the normal sense of it. I just wanted to know why my thoughts were so different from everyone else's. My thoughts were about really the word why. Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? Why have thoughts? Who? Why believe in right and wrong, good and bad? Why believe in God? What? Why does God do this? I had all the whys. And that made me very annoying to most people. So with all that being said, and I'm usually annoying when it comes to these kind of things, I started to sit with myself when I was 8 or 9 years old in my little fort. And I'll be honest with you, I worried about my thoughts. I worried about not only the quality of them, but where were they coming from? That was something that really bothered me. I went to my Unity minister at the time, Wendell Mixon. He was an interesting guy. And I asked him where my thoughts came from. He didn't know. I asked when I was in ministerial school back at Unity where my thoughts came from. I talked to a couple of the professors there. They didn't know. They tried to give me biological things like, well, you know, this is the way your brain works. But that didn't. So what it really was, and I'll tell you what it was my thoughts came flowing from the unconscious mind. I had to go all the way to India to find out about all that and to discover what that meant. What does it mean to have so many thoughts and have them, shall we say, dictate the brain that I call Gregory? And so when I really understood after a while, after some months of meditating, being as frustrated as you must be, I learned what the Zen master meant when he said, the reason the path is so difficult is because it has to go through you. And with that said, which is kind of a slap in the face, I learned that I had to understand not all thoughts are worthy of being in my my perspective. And I learned that the ego had a lot to do with it. It was calling up my genetic nature, my genetic heritage of the kind of thoughts I would introduce into my life, the kind of thoughts that I could quote-unquote believe in. It brought up a lot of craziness in my brain. And in meditating and learning to meditate in those days, it got frustrating. But I'll tell you what won out. Consistency won out. If you sit with yourself every day for at least 10 to 15 minutes, just watching your breath, doing Vipassana, watching your breath go in, watching your breath go out, just doing your breath, just doing that, watching your breath, wanting nothing with all of your heart, as we say in Zen, you start to realize in a very profound way where your thoughts come from and the quality of them. And you realize while you can't stop the flow of your thoughts, you can become indifferent to your thoughts. And with all this being said, being indifferent to my thoughts, the awakening happened. And it will happen for you as well. You will awaken. You will see things in the light of what they truly are. You have to practice, though, and practice and practice and practice. And you have to practice with the attitude to want nothing with all of your heart. Now, if you are willing to do this, if this is something you actually are willing to do, and you're willing to go through the, shall we say, the terribles of it, and you no longer wish to be a part of what your thoughts emulate within you, then you start to make progress, and you start to realize the meaning and the significance of what it is to have a mind no longer engaged in the genetic heritage of your body. When you realize that your thoughts come from the body and the unconscious mind, which perpetrates nothing but genetic heritage, when you really realize that with all of your heart and soul, that's when it starts to happen. And you begin to understand the nature of your life. You no longer are much interested in the gossip of your brain. And it is gossip. That's all it really is. And you start to realize deep inside there's just this little space that lives within us. Because, and the reason it's little is because of all the craziness that we do. And the thoughts that we inherit and the thoughts that we cherish, which have to do with right, wrong, good, bad, self-righteousness, our survival, self-preservation of the ego. Once you really start to understand that, that is when the awakening starts to happen. And you realize, I could have had this all my life at any point in my life, and the only reason I didn't was because I was undisciplined and because I believed in every thought that crossed my mind. Now, with all that being said, you can change your approach to your own thoughts. In changing the approach, you actually change the way you treat your thoughts, and they are no longer the sacred cows, we'll say, of your daily living. And that's how it's done, Andrea. But it takes a lot of practice, and you got to have some heart in there. I mean, not human heart, the heart. Anyway, Andrea, if I If I helped you, I hope so. If not, send me an email and I'll give it another go, okay? Thank you all for listening. Please forgive me, as always. Namaste.